Give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast, episode 68. Basketball is my favorite sport. I like the way to dribble up and down the court. No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. What's up, Internet? This is the Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast, episode 68, being recorded on January the 12th, 2017, brought to you by RayRay.net and the Happy Hour Network. My name is Ray Morali, also known as Ray Ray. Yeah, you noticed January 12th. I also recorded the same podcast with EJ Christian, but that was recorded around 2 in the morning or so. So yeah, this is basically the second podcast in the same day. I talked to Eric Pincus of Bleacher Report, formerly of LA Times, also does a salary cap for Basketball Insiders. And if you haven't listened to this podcast before, remember it's mostly an NBA podcast, but I talk about whatever I want. But this one stays in the NBA as, again, Eric Pincus, known for being a Lakers insider, joins me. And we just talk basketball. And maybe a little bit of his experience as being on television on Lifetime Network. No, I'm not really kidding. He really was on Lifetime. But yeah, check out the interview. But before we go there, just remember that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also download the show on Stitcher and Rary.net. And it's being syndicated by the Happy Hour Network. Follow me on Twitter at the No Look Pass and follow the podcast Twitter at Rary is Fun. That is all I got. Here's me and Eric. We're going to talk ball because that's what you want to do, right? Scrap. Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast, episode 68. This is Ray Ray, my guest. Lead Laker writer for Bleacher Report, salary cap stuff for Basketball Insiders, Hollywood Hoops Podcast, he's into the LA Times. I think he still does. I have no idea anymore. What else do you not do? Eric Pincus, how's it going?
I'm doing all right.
You also did a little TV for a little bit a few years ago, if I remember correctly, right? For Lifetime?
Yes, I did.
I remember this. What was it again? Like a summer, like a series, right? For Lifetime?
Yeah, it was called 7 Days of Sex, but wow. It was not porn or anything like that, and it was good for my wife and our relationship, and that was 100 years ago, yes. If you look for it somewhere, you can find us on iTunes. And
how did that feel?
My wife had the opportunity to get us on a show. We got paid for it, and I got to be intimate with my wife, so I got no problems.
And I remember for a few years also that you were actually playing some hoop. Do you still play hoop at this time? I know you're busy with everything else that's going on, but you know, I saw some pictures and videos that you're getting some hoops and whatnot. How's that going?
I my daughter's team. I haven't played for a while, but I love basketball, and so. Yeah, I'm a little out of practice. I got to get myself back in better shape, but I scratch that itch by coaching the girls. So I do play a lot of basketball with them, but I miss playing myself. But you know, at some point, it gets a little harder.
If we were to do a scouting report on Eric Pincus the player, what would be the scouting report for that?
Well, when I'm in shape, I move a lot without the ball. Good defender as far as effort. I don't have height. I'm 5'7", so I have to get it by. Just effort. As far as offense, not really going to take it to the basket. I do have a decent floater. Don't have a great jump shot, but if I'm wide open, I can hit a shot. If you guard me, I'm not going to score. But I set screens, and I defend, and I'm a good teammate. I like to move the ball. So guys like to play with me.
There's that.
I didn't ask for shots. I didn't want to shoot a lot. So you put me on a team with a good scorer, and he'll love me because I'll help him get some shots up.
Must be tough, though. Like, I'm 5'7 myself, you see me, and, you know, it's tough in a big man's game, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not. I'm better at other sports. But I was always better at football, better at baseball, but my passion is with basketball. It's what I love. I'm just not as good at it as the other sports. It's all right. I don't have to do it. I enjoy it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Initial friend told me that you DJed also. Or do you still do that, or what's that?
That's something I've been doing since I was 15, so... it's a nice way to, that I've always made money on the side, and being that I have 3 kids and wife, I got to pay the bills, and that's just a fun way to do it. So Yeah, I know music, I know basketball. There's a few things I do well. Those are two of them.
So Renaissance man Eric Pincus, and also Lakers man Eric Pincus, who has a pulse on the team. Let's talk about the Lakers. So what's up with them? They're playing well as of late, and have they exceeded expectations all around?
They did the first 20 games. I mean, I don't think anyone expected them to be 10-10. I don't think the Lakers expected to be 10-10. Luke Walton tried to say he didn't have expectations, but I don't think he expected the team to be as good as they were initially. But then they got hurt. They had enough injuries. And, frankly, they played over their heads a little bit in that 20-game stretch. And then with Nick Young and Angela Russell out, bust all their shooting, and they were absolutely terrible. Now they're sort of equalizing, where they got blasted by the Spurs in San Antonio because the Spurs, right? And they're in games. They lost a close couple of games to the Blazers, but although the last game they completely fell apart in the second half. So there are times they can get up 18, 19 points, 16 points, and not hold the lead. That's a sign of a young team. The pro you take from that is that they can get up that high. They can get leads. They can build leads. They can do things right. The con is that they can't close out games, and they don't have the focus to play for 48 minutes yet, and that's pretty normal for a young developing team. That's why you look at the Minnesota Timberwolves, who have a ton of young talent, and they're in the same boat as the Lakers.
So much has been made that there's not going to be any moves being made on the trading deadline. Is this the right move, or do you think they should go ahead and get a veteran so they can accelerate the process? Because we all know there's this timeline supposedly for Jim Buss to get out of the team if they don't meet expectations. Is that what's going to happen right here?
Well, Mitch Kupchak will always downplay the notion that they'll make a trade, because trades are very difficult to do, and he doesn't expect a trade. There's no trade that they could just say yes to right now. There's no something on the table where all you have to do is just make a phone call. But they inquired reportedly about Paul Millsap. Reportedly, they've had interest in Nerlens Noel. This is a team that isn't good enough not to look around and see what's out there, but that doesn't mean they're willing to trade their young guys. Brandon Ingram, D'Angelo Russell, Julius Randle, Larry Nance, Jordan Clarkson. I'm not sure who of that young core is available, if any. I'm not sure if they're even looking to dump guys like Lou Williams, who's been a very valuable part of what they're doing. Maybe Nick Young, because he's in the last year of his contract. Certainly Calderon is available, possibly a few others. We can argue or debate whether or not they want to dump Lou Dang's contract, but they just signed him to it, so maybe they're willing to hold on to that as well. I wouldn't say they're not going to make a trade. I would say they're going to continue to communicate with 29 teams, and some of them won't call and some will, and if something comes up, if it makes sense for the Lakers, they'll certainly do it. Not to, and as you point out, Jim Buss is on a self-imposed deadline, and we'll see if the Buss family sticks to that, but this is not a team that's certainly not.
What type of potential do you see in any of this core? Do you think any of them can be a superstar, perennial all-star? What do you think?
They're young, and the verdict is still out. You look at Julius Randle, it's really his second year, because he lost his first year. And you're seeing progress. You're seeing that right now he's probably the best player, but he's not their best player every night. And sometimes he can really be a problem for teams on both ends, more on offense, but even on defense at times. And there are stretches where he seems kind of in a daze and doesn't make himself a big enough presence. So he's certainly someone who could be a double-double guy across the career. I don't know about an all-star, but near all-star. And if he keeps throwing, perhaps it can't be up. And he has some real talent. He's really a nice passer. Ingram, I think, has a world of potential because he's a rookie. He's got this incredible lane. We don't know what he'll be. It's too early to even guess, but I like the raw materials there. I like what I'm seeing. If you're looking closely at it, you see the progress he's making, and that he's already a far better player now than he was a month ago, and as long as he keeps progressing, then he's on the right path. And then with Russell, really talented, and he can light it up with his shot, and he's really a really creative passer. It just hasn't come together consistently yet, and so he's very young. He has a long way to go. I'm curious to see if he can reach that, but he still has all-star potential. He's just got has to put in a ton of work to reach that and that kind of consistency.
You know, it's funny, because I remember you getting flack from people about the whole D'Angelo Russell, Byron Scott situation, and people have accused you of not liking him, but it's obvious, like, if they read between the lines, And if they're reading comprehension, you actually like Russell. So what are you, how do you feel about that?
No, I at the time, I wasn't willing to flat out blame Byron Scott for everything that was going wrong. And mm-hmm. we're seeing that Luke Walton's doing a lot of the same things that Byron Scott did. Byron Scott didn't want to necessarily start D'Angelo Russell, so he benched him. And here we have Ingram coming off the bench. The problem is that Russell came into the league unprepared at 19 years old for what the NBA was. I'm not pointing that out like he's, oh my God, he's, he, most 19-year-olds, in fact, almost all 19-year-olds don't know how to play in the NBA when they first get there. And it takes some right. time. And so, I wasn't on the Barry Byron Scott bandwagon, and therefore I must not like Russell, but that's just absurd. I don't like or dislike anybody. It's not a matter of like, that's not even part of the equation. My job is to report, to know who these people are and tell their stories, and I don't approach it like I'm gonna like or dislike anybody. I just go in, these are people I'm reporting on, they're fascinating to me. If there was a default setting, it's to like everybody. I think everybody's fascinating. I'm really curious to see who these are. I make no judgments on who they will become, but I'm supposed to judge them on who they are right now. And Russell came into the league very immature. And a year later, he's still there, but he's a lot more mature than he was a year ago because he's 20 now, right? And so when he reaches 21, he should be more mature. Most players don't really mature until they're about 25. So, that's not a slight on him. That's who he is because of his age. It's not his fault. His age. And so, no, I think Russell is a very talented player. There are times he can be very surly and snarky with the media, and not really communicate, which is a challenge. And, that is something that is his personality we have to deal with. I get along with him. I talk to him off the record and on the record, and I've never had any issue with him. I bump into him all the time in like Las Vegas during summer league, and we caught up, and he's fine. We have no gripes whatsoever. So, I can't think of any players I've ever had. I think Stacey Augmon once didn't like me because I was asking him questions he didn't like. So if there was any question I ever had a gripe with, it was Stacey Augmon 100 years ago. And that was right when he got suspended for throwing, gosh, what was it? He threw some lotion at a teammate, and the team suspended him. And I tried to ask him about it when he came back from suspension, and he was very upset that I asked him that question. And so that's really the last player that I can remember that really got mad at me. That's a long time ago.
I don't remember that at all. Yeah, that was a long time ago. But I never remember this, him throwing lotion at anybody. Like, I know he's been in multiple teams, we know that, with the Hawks and the Pistons and all that stuff, but I just don't remember him getting suspended or something like that.
Google it.
Hey there, this is Serena Winters of LakersNation.com, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast. Let me hear you say on the count of three.
This is Harrison Fagan from Silver Screen and Roll. You're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast.
Yeah, I just find it funny because, again, like, I guess it's because, you know, people wanted to see Russell succeed so badly. But it's just that, you know, obviously, you were proven right in the aspect that, well, he got caught doing this whole entire thing with, you know, Nick Young. So, you know, like, when we're 19, we're all stupid, right? So, I don't know, it's just weird that they just jump on you like that. Even some media members, too.
I mean, it was one moment in time, and I haven't thought about it until you asked the question, but yeah, there was a stretch where, because I didn't blame Byron Scott for every thought, was saying about Russell was in a lot of ways accurate. Now, if you ask me, mm-hmm. was Byron Scott doing a great job, I didn't say he was doing a great job. I didn't say, I said, I'm curious to see. I'm going to give him some time to see what job he's doing. And then when the team stagnated, because he was saying, I've only put in like 30% what I'm trying to do. Okay, well, I'll give you time to put in the other 70%. But then if you go 2-3 months and the team's still doing the same thing and there's no new sets, they did put in something new. They put in some motion weak stuff. But the team, after only about a week or two of running it well, they didn't fully, basically, the team did not progress. The players did not progress, connect with his players, and their running clearly did not work, and I didn't see enough adaptability And he had a very tough love approach with his players, and clear that he was not the right guy for the job. And some people might have reached that conclusion earlier than I did, but it's my job to be objective, not to be
right.
Making a conclusion just because of whatever reason. That I mean, they're just like people had certain opinions about D'Angelo Russell that ended up not coming true just yet. They thought he'd be an all-star last year. Well, he wasn't ready, and he's not ready this year, but that doesn't mean he won't be an all-star in the future.
And it's weird also because you're around the locker rooms all the time. You're around these guys. So I just thought it was weird that you would get accused of something weird like that. So, yeah.
On the internet, people accuse that stuff all the time. If you take that stuff seriously and really worry about it, you're going to lose your mind. And so I write that stuff off immediately after. I don't. Because if it's not based in any reality, mm-hmm. it's not like there's stuff with DeMarcus Cousins where people are on video with DeMarcus and they're having these confrontations, and clearly they don't like each other. I don't recall ever having that in my career. So
that's just
not my personality. So if people
and I defended you, so you know it's not like we talked about the 2015 draft, and obviously Carl Anthony Towns was a prize of that draft, but you also mentioned that Porzingis was sought after as well by the Lakers, and, you know, Laker fans were like, oh, we should have gotten Porzingis. How close were the Lakers were on making that pick?
Well, from what I understand at the time, there was a lot of hype about Okafor, and the people were assuming they were going to take Okafor, including myself. Of course, they only say so much beforehand. Mm-hmm. They try not to tell the media because the media we write about it, and then the other teams know what they're going to do. But I had heard different things, and one of the things I heard is that they weren't that impressed with Okafor's workout. They had two workouts, and the second one they brought in a guy who didn't even join the NBA, didn't get drafted, went overseas, and Okafor didn't dominate him. It was not what they expected. He had a little bit of a hitch in his jump shot, and so they weren't thoroughly impressed, whereas they were just blown away by Russell, but they were also blown away by Porzingis. But, speaking to some of the people around the team and leading up to the draft, there was some concern they had about whether or not Porzingis would be able to stay healthy in the league, whether he would be able to put on the kind of weight he needs to put on and the muscle to be a center in this league. They viewed him as someone who probably have to play center, and so there was some concern there. But after Russell was there. Well, Towns was their top guy. After Towns, it was Russell, and then the third guy they liked was Porzingis. I'm not sure after that how much lower Okafor was. I know they weren't in love with Moutier because he couldn't shoot, but that would. Porzingis was someone they seriously considered.
After all this, how do you think the Lakers are going to do? I mean, they're closer to the eighth seed than the bottom of the barrel, basically. So, do you think they're going to make the playoffs this season? Is that absurd to think about?
Well, before the Blazers lost, I took a look at it, and they were closer to eight than the fourth place Clippers were to third. So there was certainly that possibility. The key was beat the Blazers. Now you have a shot at getting a 3-1 series tiebreaker. But right now they're 0-2, so that's out the window. They can tie up the series and win two more and then see what other tiebreaker comes next and if they have it. So they still have a shot, but that counts on the Blazers being terrible. Or not terrible, but just bad. You look at the other teams the Lakers are competing around, the Nuggets, the Kings, the Pelicans, and I don't really have a lot of confidence in any of those squads. I do believe that the Blazers are the best of the bunch and that they'll pull away, and that the Lakers are probably going to end up somewhere in the 9 to 12 range, and they're probably going to lose their draft pick, but they're better off trying to get to 8 and failing than they are in trying to get their draft pick and failing that, because they need to show some real progress. You don't want to start teaching these kids any more than they've already learned that losing is okay.
If not this year, next year maybe. I mean, they're probably going to lose their pick. So, you're going to give them a year or 2 years to make the playoffs? What's up?
Well, I mean, there's too many variables, so much changes. If you look at the Celtics before they won the title, right before they won the title, they were terrible.
Right.
And you look at the Miami Heat before they got LeBron James, and they were terrible. And then you look at, they win the title, and then suddenly LeBron leaves, Chris Bosh is out with the injury, and Dwayne Wade leaves in free agency, and now that's one of the worst teams in the NBA. So I don't count. Timeline is the problem. It's hard to know, to guess time. And so thinking about it, Brandon Ingram is years away from being what he will be, if not 2 to 3. Russell's probably 1 to 2 to 3, and Randall's probably 1 to 2 to 3. So they need to get more talent. They need to get better players. I don't know if it's, but as far as where the the Lakers are going forward. They have to get lucky, be it in trade or free agency or just individual player development. The new collective bargaining agreement doesn't really favor them because it kind of diminishes the role of free agency, and in some ways it makes trades a little bit harder. In some ways it makes trades easier, in other ways it makes trades harder. And so they're going to be at a point where they need their young players to be really, really special, or they need to trade some of them to go and get veteran talent. The problem is guys who are among the best players in the league are rarely available. Guys like maybe Paul Millsap might be dealt. There's been 100 years of rumors about DeMarcus Cousins, but I don't think he's being dealt. There are other players who might be had in trade. There's been rumors about Jimmy Butler and whatnot. But if the Lakers aren't going to give up their kids to get them, I don't think they're going to get special players. It's just really rare for the top players in the league to be traded, and usually there's a good reason for it. So we'll have to wait and see. The Lakers don't appear like they're a year away. They may be a year away from being a playoff team, maybe 2 years away from being a playoff team, but I think they're on the right path. It's not going to happen overnight. And if we're talking about being contenders, which is what Laker fans are used to and or are expecting, especially over the last 20 years mm-hmm. with Kobe Bryant, that's just not what they are, and it's going to take a while for them to get back to that.
Basically, who's farther along? The Lakers, the Sixers, or the Wolves? We all know Joel Embiid having a tremendous season, and of course the Wolves have Carl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, and a much improved Zach LaVine. So who's farther along, you think, with those three?
Well, you can argue the talent between the Lakers and the Wolves and the Sixers, they all have tremendous talent. The Sixers are kind of a mess in how the roster is constructed, so it's too early to say.
Mm-hmm.
If you say who's the best player of the bunch, maybe you argued Joel Embiid, but there's that asterisk in that he's an injury risk. So I certainly hope he stays healthy the rest of his career, by and large, and goes on to be an all-star. He's been a great story this year, and I'm very happy for his success. So maybe you can argue he's the best player out of all of them. Some would argue that's Towns, although I think he took a little bit of a step back. I think a little bit more was thrust on his shoulders than he was ready for, just like we talked about with Russell. 19, 20-year-old kids, they're just not ready yet. Wiggins is a great scorer. I expect him to be a better defender in the NBA. Zach LaVine is a tremendous scorer, and he's a lot of fun to watch. But that team doesn't play the kind of defense that they should, especially under Tom Thibodeau. Lakers have really nice depth. They're a piece or two away from what they need to be. How would you rank them? It's really subjective. I think the Lakers are right amongst all those teams. I'd probably put the Sixers third at this point because we don't know what Ben Simmons is, and the rest of that roster is such a jumble until they kind of settle things out with Noel and Okafor and whatnot. They're the clear third. Between the Lakers and the Wolves, I mean, if you go by the standings, last check, and I haven't checked since the Lakers lost their last two, they were ahead of the Wolves. And so I kind of lean towards the Lakers, maybe because I know them, and if there's a little bias just from proximity, just being around them such. But, man, I don't think you can argue with the three that they have over there. And I like Gorgie Jang and some of the other players they have there as well. So I feel like the Wolves are underachieving, whereas I feel like the Lakers have overachieved this year. So by that, I'll probably go Lakers.
That's all I got. Eric Pincus, man on the Lakers, doing everything he can to provide us knowledge about the team. Go ahead and publicize your stuff on the Internet, whatever you need to do.
Well, you can always find me on Twitter at Eric Pincus, E-R-I-C-P-U-S. I like to interact, and if you ask me questions, I'll do my best to answer it. You can find me at Bleacher Report as the L.A. Lakers lead writer, and at Ball Insiders, where I focus mostly on the salary cap and publishing the player salaries and all that good stuff. And I also have a podcast with Josh Martin at Bleacher Report called Hollywood Hoops. Just look for any of that stuff. Best thing to do is just follow me on Twitter. I tweet all that stuff out. And I'm like I said, I like you to reach out to me. I'm happy to reach back.
Yeah, so, you know, it's funny because, like, we know each other for how long now? 6-7 years, maybe? Something like that? And we've probably only seen each other in Vegas, I feel like.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yep, so Summer League.
Basically Summer League. And I know you helped me out on Media Day, I believe, 2012, so I really appreciate that for making it easier for me.
Of course.
And, yeah. And I think that is it. Thanks, Eric, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, Ray. Game over,
yeah! Hashtag blame Ray Ray.
Molded.